Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Lou Gowen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I am El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Yes, I am good. I am good. NXT.
Sound like you're trying to convince yourself that you are good. I am good.
I'm in a difficult place with this week's NXT. We'll get into it.
We'll get into more of it. We're going to be discussing, as the main talking point, whether or not Karrion Kross's debut entrance is one of the best NXT entrances of all time. And then going through the rest of the show, here it is. Big talking point, I think, and the thing that everyone is kind of clamoring to talk about online is the entrance of Karrion Kross and Scarlett from this week's NXT, which had all of the smoke, so much dry ice. There wasn't a dry ice in the house anymore after this. I think I was kind of expecting Karrion Kross and Scarlett to make their debut in a more attacky kind of way. I was expecting more of a sneak attack and a big sort of standing tall in the ring kind of moment after the whole attacking Tommaso Ciampa from out of nowhere and seemingly built on the kind of Killer Kross character from before. And yet Karrion Kross had this huge Amdram performance with Scarlett Bordeaux lip syncing for her life as she walks to the ring, lyrics on the screen like it's the Mickey Mouse Club. Like we got everything in this entrance. What did you make of it, Adam?
Yeah, I've got in my notes it's half RuPaul's Drag Race and half The Conjuring, and I'm here for it. I really, really dug it. I think it's genuinely, like, other than a takeover entrance like Nakamura with Lee Englund Jr., Roy Englund Jr. Oh, I got that name wrong. Other than that, like, I generally think it's in contention for best production of an entrance. Like, Bobby Roode had Glorious, and that rocketed him to the main event. This, I think, if it was in front of a crowd, similar. Like, I want to see Karrion Kross on next week's episode so I can see this again, which is really what it's supposed to do.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's NXT hasn't had a very good run of entrance musics for a while since the CFO money fell up. Since CFO money sort of fell apart with them, so I think this is a very good theme song. Like this is a good entrance theme. It's got that, I think, that brilliant turn where he gets in the ring and it's the lighting switches up and you get the red lighting and the Fallen Prayer. It's got very The Fiend's remix of Bray Wyatt's song in sort of, that's what it conjured in my head. I really, really enjoyed this entrance. And I think it's that kind of, when they were saying they were going to fast track Karrion Kross, when Triple H was saying that behind the scenes, supposedly, this is a good way to do it. This made him feel like a major deal, more so than just coming out and doing a regular squash match, because what obviously followed this match, what I found quite funny, as all the dry ice clears, you just realise that Leon Ruff is already in the ring, and he's sort of like, well, blooming heck. Like, just...
Ooh.
I thought that was... That reveal, I think, made me laugh even more than like how kind of campy and brilliant the entrance was. Not so fussed by the squash match. I think this was almost too formulaic a squash match. You couldn't have done more to herald the coming of the squash match than by it being someone quite big in their debut match, and then it being Leon Ruff, who I don't think has done a match that isn't a squash match yet. And I don't know. I just think, well, you need to move past the squash match where it's like you do two big moves and then lock in your finisher and then that's it, over with. And it's all about, oh, he's just messing with him. He's just stalking him. It's like, that is what happens. We do that with every guy over 6'2". Mm. So let's just come up with something else.
The one thing I really like about the match, because I do agree with you, the one thing I really like about the match is that there is a lingering dry ice just sort of like skating over the top of the mat, and it gives it like a sort of wasteland like feel. Like, it's a little bit of cinematic, like he's just sort of standing there in this kind of desolate no man's land. I really like that kind of like it, another little cinematic touch, which I think is great. Other than that, yeah, I feel like in terms of introducing the character, they may have got the first two story beats back to front, and I think they probably just did that for logistics. Tomato Champion obviously getting taken down feels like the second step. Mm-hmm. This feels like the first step. You know, turns up, you see him, entrance, he kills someone, and then he goes after bigger prey. Having gone after the biggest prey to then go after the tiniest of mice. Yeah. Like, I get it. You know, it is, they are very much shackled. And I felt that a lot. I think we'll talk about it generally. I felt a lot more of the constraints of no fans in this episode than I did last week. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure why. We'll explore it, but considering that what they are dealing with, I thought, yeah, it's as good a presentation of anyone I've seen ever in wrestling. And yeah, it just made me tinge with melancholy, because obviously as soon as it happened, I just said, wow, that would have been cool in front of a crowd, huh?
It would have been cool in front of a crowd, but I think but making the best of a bad situation, the kind of things that you can do really well, that you don't have to worry so much about. You can do these kind of more theatrical productions. You can do pre-taped matches that are cinematically filmed. And I think playing on those ideas is something that wrestling can really mess with now and explore, because it's got more people kind of interest is down in wrestling in general. And people are less bothered about the matches being good, because I think you kind of you can't win situation as the promoter anyway, because a lot of people just aren't going to watch it, or they're going to think it's bad because there's no fans there anyway. So you might as well mess with all the other stuff and see what you can kind of pull out of the bag in that regard. And I think this entrance was throwing every single bell and whistle at an entrance that you could possibly do, beyond having somebody else play them in. Like, you know, like when there's a band doing it, I think that's when it reaches its peak.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, I was a little deflated by this episode, and I think that's just natural because of what this episode promised. Promised its top two titles were going to be on the line in two titanic matchups that have actually had a fair amount of build. But like you say, NXT has found itself in this position where it's just like, oh, this isn't how anyone wants to see these matches. So what do we do? And that kind of takes us to the Io Charlotte match when this is what happens. Just immediately, like, a couple of them, like, they do the whole, oh, we both do moonsaults, and everyone misses their moonsault, and then Charlotte almost immediately, I mean, like, there's a few, like, 3 or 4 minutes of good stuff, and you can tell that Io's great springboard dropkick and stuff. Like, you can tell that the match, when it eventually happens, will be really good. It's just, yeah, it was a bait and switch, and that's going to annoy a lot of people. But I do get it. I would rather see Io Shirai versus Charlotte Flair in front of a crowd. And, you know,
yeah,
you want to honor the ladder match while still keeping the fans on the hook, you know?
Exactly. You want to do that, and you want to keep Shirai in the mix. But then you're bringing Rhea Ripley back into the mix as well?
Yeah, that was the thing that I didn't really get. And also, Io Shirai, I mean, I get Io Shirai's, like, she's probably more of a tweener now, but slightly a heel. But it's like, hey, Rhea Ripley just saved you for having your leg broken. You seem annoyed about something, and I don't know why.
Yeah, because the match was already over at that point, so it's not like she interrupted and ruined the match. You know, if that's something they wanted to build into, they could have cut that point finer. Like, they could have made the transition between Kendo Stick and Rhea coming out a lot closer, and then you could have legitimately played up confusion over what's just happened. Io being annoyed that she's been saved doesn't necessarily make sense. And then I guess, and then it just says to me that Rhea versus Io is the lengthener here. We're going to get that to stretch out this feud. They're going to tease it being a triple threat, probably.
They'll probably be the triple threat.
And then they'll split out into doing the two singles matches somewhere down the line with Charlotte. And it's just a shame, because I just think like Rhea versus Charlotte at Mania was probably the best match of the weekend, in my opinion. We know what Charlotte's capable of. And I know a lot of people don't like the idea of Charlotte going down to NXT and running through the best women's division and putting them all in their place because she's the queen. But she's the queen for a reason. And it's not just because she's a Flair. It is because she does get great matches out of people. And I think her and Io are going to have a great match at some point. And her and Rhea already have. And I can't wait for part two. It's just a shame that this wasn't a clean finish, I think, because... Yeah.
It's a tricky first defense when, like part of the whole project of Charlotte going to NXT is like, oh, cool, who's she going to fight? Mm-hmm. And it's a DQ.
Exactly.
I get it. We know why it's happened. No, none of this is perfect. None of this is ideal. So, yeah, I think we're definitely more willing to cut NXT some slack with this stuff.
But it's a little morsel of a good story in there as well, because there's that idea that cocky Charlotte goes down to NXT to go and face all these women that she thinks is the best women on the WWE roster in general. Mm-hmm. And she finds that the competition is too stiff for her. She finds that actually, like, she's being taken to the limit in every single defense. And I think you could tell that story coming out of this match, but it's too early to do that. I think, you know, she's only had that one match with Mia Yim, which Mia Yim had a really good showing in and really took Charlotte to the limit. And then here, Io was starting to build momentum and take Charlotte to places. And then Charlotte immediately goes for the kendo stick. I think we could have got there after another match, maybe. Mm. You know, or, yeah, I think...
If this match had been longer, like if this match had been like 15 minutes and Charlotte tries everything and Io just keeps kicking out and like has a counter for everything, then yeah, I would buy more that Charlotte, the desperation play. Because like, yeah, she's not a coward. She's not like the cowardly heel. She's incredibly full of herself, but in that Ric Flair way of, you know, I tend to back it up. I go the distance, you know, the 60-minute man and stuff.
I'm proud, so, I think is, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I would have bought that more if she was just like, okay, I can't put her away. This is not worth my time anymore. Mm-hmm. It felt like, yeah, she just came up and took the cheap win as quickly as she could.
Yeah, and I think what's good about that storyline and how you could have played it out is because that plays into what fans think anyway. Like fans think it's cheap to send Charlotte to NXT and have her just run through all the women. They think it devalues that division. And everyone is arguing that it can raise them up. And this is exactly how you do it, by having cocky Charlotte grapple with the idea that she's not necessarily the number one woman in NXT, even though she's got the belt. Like, and I think that is fascinating. But I don't think you can eke out in a way that doesn't involve immediate kendo sticks.
Yeah, the big, obviously, like the big Charlotte project feels like Charlotte goes down, lays waste to a lot of people. One person beats her and you use that to make the next big person. It's just, yeah, it's a weird stumble in that story, but you know, I enjoyed the match as it was happening. I want to see them fight again, so yeah. I guess in purest wrestling terms, job done, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, yeah, it's just another symptom of the time we're in, I think, is more the disappointment where that comes from me. It's like, I really like the match. I would have been fine with that finish 2 months ago, I think, as part of the build to something. It's just that I think we feel untethered from build now. Mm-hmm. So anything that takes you away from a conclusion, I'm kind of disliking at the moment, because I just want to feel like wrestling is progressing in a sensible and logical format.
Speaking of,
hey, so
let's talk about Finn, shall we? And the who shot JR storyline that we've now sort of meandered into. It's like you say, NXT it's built up so much goodwill. If half of these finishes happened on Raw, I'd be just like, they don't know what they're doing. They're just scrambling for time and they're literally just like cobbling. They're just stapling together a card as they go. Mm-hmm. NXT has always shown a lot more forethought than that. They are a lot more patient and they do genuinely invest in long-term storylines, which is why, yeah, they've earned, like, it's not favoritism. They've literally earned this patience, I think, from myself and other fans. But this one, I don't know, man. Like the... Finn Balor turning up to cut a promo about everyone goes after the guy to get the push. It's not going to be a push. It's going to be a squash. Ooh, some insider terms there, Fergal. And then he goes away and then Cameron Grimes comes out, really short match on a night of short matches. And then he cuts
it's Denzel, is it? See you, mate.
And he cuts a promo. Then Finn just wanders into shot, cuts a promo on him, slap my face. And then he goes away. Then Finn cuts another promo. It's like, damn, there's way more moving parts to this than it feels like there should be. And this is when it's like, oh, that felt like filler.
Yeah. And you know what? It comes out. Yeah. So it comes out of they wanted to take Balor out of last 2 weeks ago with Dream. So they have him attacked in the locker room. Mm-hmm. They then have Balor come out and cut a promo saying that you attack the guy to get the push, and when you get the push, you get the lights, the lasers, the smoke. So there's me thinking, oh, is that Karrion Kross? He's just had lights, lasers, and smoke. The only thing that Balor hasn't listed is lip syncing. So there's one clue still out there. But then that also, to me, like later on in the show, we then see Velveteen Dream come out with lights, lasers, and smoke. So there's a bit of me that's also sitting there thinking, are we just going to go back to where we were originally? Like the match that we were supposed to have, which was just Velveteen Dream versus Finn Balor. We're just going to loop round and end up there again. And we've just wasted 3 weeks of everyone's time.
Well, like, yeah, I think we've possibly teased what's coming next for Dream, which is this giant scary mm-hmm. dad. So Dexter Lumis slithers. So we get to the main event in a fairly like underwhelming's hard because it's like I tell you what, who I did miss this week, and it makes it feel gross for missing him, Drake Maverick. Like, because like it like, that is one of the few things that really feels like a tangible, weighty, emotional beat. And you know, it's because it's quite exploitative, but it does also provide the kind of that emotional anchor that a lot of it's missing. Like, you know, there's not a lot of emotional stuff in Chelsea Green and Robert Stone potentially getting a new partner in Aaliyah. There's not you know, Gargano is just starting the heel, you know, the heel run is starting, he's got new music, that's cool, mm-hmm. but again, there's not a huge amount going on here because he's not really feuding with anyone. Tozawa versus Gallagher. I mean, the most interesting thing about that match is that Gallagher's wearing leopard skin trunks with red boots, which is something. And then, yeah, like Kushida, Jake Atlas had an amazing spot, but all of these things felt quite weightless. So you get to the main event, and I think definitely the best match of the night because it actually felt like a full match as compared to pretty much everything on the show. Undisputed Era come out. Dexter Lumis slizzes out from under the ring in a beautifully timed and framed. I mean, that's going to be a meme.
Yeah.
And then he throws Roddy into the ref. Dream gets the visual pin, but then last shot and he gets pinned. So it looks like, Dream versus Lumis, which is like a pretty cool, like, mashup of insane characters.
So do you think Dream versus Lumis, or do you think Dream and Lumis are sort of, why is Lumis helping Dream? Because that's, you know, he slithers out to take out the Undisputed Era. And yeah, he accidentally donks the ref, but I don't think Dream saw that. I mean, the Dream, when he pinned Adam Cole, when he went, ref, he looked in the only direction the ref wasn't. the tiny bit of the corner of the ring that he was pinning him in. And was like, ref, and it's, oh, he's behind me, obviously, in the rest of the ring. so, yeah, I guess, like, I wonder, yeah, they might do a sort of like, yeah, you messed up helping me, so we're gonna turn this into a feud. But I feel like Lumis's interest is the Undisputed Era, and made like, because he came out for the tag match as well to watch that. He interjected himself in the other tag match with, well, the handicap match to become a tag match in a really weird bit. So I feel like his presence has been felt around Undisputed Era more than it has been to do with Dream. And I don't know whether, like, maybe the Dream is the extender to that feud, and like the filler sort of bit.
Well, Velveteen Dream is always kind of best when he's in like these kind of unconventional, weirdly psychological, vague, you know,
pseudosexual.
In those kind of storylines. And I think maybe here's where I think they might be going with it. I think possibly Dexter Lumis attacked Finn Balor in order to protect Velveteen Dream, because I think there may be. Maybe he's like, there may be like a little obsession angle with Velveteen. Like, they're two kind of very strange creatures who kind of like, and like maybe Lumis has kind of found something he recognizes and wants to protect and cherish and Dream, and maybe it will get too much too far, and then they'll break up and feud. Who knows? But like, there seems to be no other reason why Dexter Lumis is around Velveteen Dream. Yeah.
To build to the inevitable, it puts the lotion on its skin match, like, down the line. Yes, that's where they're going with this. They're going to red dragon this stuff.
Well, what more WWE feud could you ask for than taking two insane characters and putting them in an insane feud? I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, I get. Like, I mean, I'm here for it. I just it's just now again we're back to sort of who's coming for Cole. When's that going to happen? Because I felt like this. I felt like last takeover. Felt like the moment to move Cole on. It felt like the moment to take the belt off him and sort of who's the next guy. And I get that we're sort of also in the unprecedented time of NXT actually being a weekly program that has history rather than just being a feeder program for Raw and SmackDown. So it's more about like, you, as soon as you win the belt, really your days are numbered. And it's more about like, when are you going to drop it and when are you going to move up? So now, like, you know, Cole might be in NXT forever. We don't know. I imagine they've got their eye on him from the main roster side of things because of his showings at Survivor Series, etc. But yeah, I just feel like now, again, Dream's kind of, that moment's passed and we'll probably be on to the next thing. So are we gonna build to a rematch with Cole and Dream at some point? Or are we going to see Finn Balor get back into that picture for a bit as sort of like a filler? It's really hard, yeah, isn't it? Because it just feels like everything's sort of so up in the air.
I think you've kind of, yeah, you've latched on, I think, why this episode, yeah, felt quite underwhelming, is that there's clearly, and I guess, yeah, again, symptom of the fact that we don't know when the next takeover is going to be. I have no idea. It feels like there's lots of story elements at play, but none of them have a hook to bring you back for next week.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
None of them got developed in a way where you'd be like, I have to see more of this, which is why we're leading with the Karrion Kross thing, because that's the only thing I want to see more of. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Johnny Gargano's got a plan for NXT, but he's not made it tangible what he's going to do. The cruiserweight thing is fine. Like,
it's dark cloud over the top of it that there is, but yeah, fine.
But also, like, I think the one thing they haven't addressed is what happens if two people get 2-1 in their bracket. Like, I'm starting to disconnect from it slightly because I'm not entirely sure how the bracket works, because two people have got 2-0. Some people have got 1-1. What if two people get 2-1? Is that possible? I don't know. So, for example, because I mean, Maverick has to fight Kushida, right?
Yeah.
And if he beats Kushida, then Kushida's 2-1 and he's 2-1.
Yeah.
So what happens? Who's the leader? Who's the winner of the bracket?
Well, Maverick is out. Let me tell you, Maverick is out. Sadly.
Yeah, and just like every other aspect of this program didn't have an obvious, oh, this is what I'm tuning in for next week, with the possible exception of Io, I keep calling it Io, Io versus Rhea. Mm-hmm. And I guess they've announced the tag team championship match, which I'm sure will be great.
Yeah, but I think it feels like it's all, you know, we're schmozzing the entire program at the moment, because it's just, we're just going to chuck in elements at the end of matches to put in things for next week that we can film. And that's kind of what it feels like. It's not like it's like, here's a long thought out plan. We're not getting these clever confrontations that we had before. Like, you know, I think one of the best segments of NXT that I've ever seen is Ricochet flipping the ropes and walking up to Velveteen Dream and just saying, I'm right here. Like, you know, that is one of the coolest things I think I've ever watched. And we're not getting anything that thought out. Like, that's how NXT TV used to exist, in that realm in which just seeing two guys stand in front of each other was amazing. And would get holy S-word chants and all that kind of stuff. And now we're in this world where we're being promised matches for the titles, and we're not getting the spill out of that, of like, I need to watch this again.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, you know, and that's the problem. It's still got a really good TV show. It's still really good wrestling. Like, there's a lot in there to like. It's just untethered from the normal cadence of how NXT snowballs into a takeover and into a title change, and so it just feels like momentum is never quite building in the way they want it to.
I'm reminded of, like, because I read ages ago, Alan Moore wrote a book about how he writes comics. Mm-hmm. And he said you can never underestimate how much, like, effort it is to keep your reader's attention in the act of turning the page. Like, it never take your audience's attention for granted, which is mm-hmm. why he wrote Watchmen, especially. Pretty much every page transitioned visually and thematically to the next one. Like, he would have a snippet of dialogue from the next scene on the previous page to give you an idea of where we're going, to keep you in. Always, never turn away. So, page turners are mm-hmm. so, you know, popular, because they just keep you on the hook. There's always that little dagger, that kind of, no, you can't leave, not yet, because there's this thing. Mm. NXT's been lacking that, which it used to have, and I think generally that is due in some part, obviously, to the crowd, because, yeah, I would have loved to have seen the crowd react to Karrion Kross. But also, yeah, they just don't have a production schedule. It really feels like they don't. They don't have, like, okay, week one, week two, week three, week four, takeover. Week one, week two, week three, week four, takeover. What are the story beats? What do we do to get people back? They don't, it just doesn't fit. It feels, like you say, untethered.
Yeah. What are we building to?
anything?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot, I think there was a lot to like in this episode. I liked the Adam Cole versus Dream. I liked Io Shirai versus Charlotte before the finish. I even liked Finn Balor wandering out behind Cameron Grimes. I liked Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae sharing music, and Johnny having the All Heart No Soul logo. Like, I think that's an interesting kind of thing for his character. I'm keen to see where it goes, but yeah, I could also skip next week and still probably pick it up at some point, because I just feel like, yeah, I think a lot of people after a recap rather than an in-depth full 2 hours show about it, you know, I'd rather just sort of watch the clips on YouTube until we get back to normal.
Also, just want to say, like, this is a very picky point, but I guess we're being picky this week because NXT has deserved such finer criticisms. Two moments, this one and this one, they're DQs. And the referee didn't DQ. And I don't know what. It's just literally two matches happening back to back. Not back to back, but like within the first like half an hour, like 40 minutes of NXT, two matches where people come, where people approach, literally lay hands on another competitor and are not escorted, either told to leave by the ref or there's a disqualification. Very small point. But when there's no fans, literally all you can do is watch the ring. And then, yeah, just like, so Candice like hangs on to Johnny. And then the ref says, all right, Candice, I've got my eye on you. And it's like, yeah, you just saw her getting physically involved in the match. Send her away. I don't know why that annoyed me. I think it's because they did it twice with Aaliyah turning up and literally grabbing one of the that's a DQ.
That's definitely a DQ. I guess the argument to be made in the Johnny case is that's his wife, so they're just like, well, it's his wife.
She's not allowed to just, you know, pull him out of the ring.
Hey, wrestling marriages are different to normal marriages.
That's true. I don't know. Again, I think it's the reason why I'm bringing it up, because yeah, it feels like it feels like NXT is stuttering a little bit, like it's buffering, and it's not the NXT that we're used to. I'm not necessarily sure how, like you say, it's symptoms of the time, so I'm not actually sure, like, is it even worth nitpicking? But I just think it's interesting that, like, NXT has been able to get by on two men standing face to face, and that's it, you know, like the mystique, the vibe, the knowledge that, okay, I know NXT is good, I know they're going to do right by us, so all you have to do is put two people we like in the same room, instant moment anticipation, and maybe that confidence is waning.
I guess, and that's the thing, is that I'm kind of watching matches now thinking, well, how are they gonna sort of fudge their way out of this one? You know, that's kind of what I was watching, the Dream Cole thing, being like, this isn't going to be a clean finish. I was watching Io and Charlotte thinking, well, either Charlotte's going to win or this isn't going to be a clean finish. And I'm kind of, my opinion on NXT is slowly turning over the course of having things like Dexter Lumis tag himself into a match he's not in, to being like, what weird thing are they going to do now? So they don't have to make, a decision that actually impacts what the watching experience is like. So, you know, putting the belt, I think just putting the belt on Dream now would have built interest in the program. But obviously, like, Dream is embroiled in some controversy, and that's not a good choice. But, you know, before time, like, that would have been a good, that probably would have been a good choice. Pick a character that's very over, do something with them, and gain people's interest. Like, I'm not saying having Keith Lee drop the North American title would be a good choice, but, like, having something that keeps people coming back, feeling like things are progressing rather than in a holding pattern would be a good way of doing that. So how did you think No Rolls Barred's one shot went? Cyber Battle Wars.
Cyber Battle Wars. I thought it was very different. There are elements of the recording which I don't like, just in terms of how it plays out. But I thought it was definitely better than I expected. I was super worried going into it that it wasn't going to work. There'd be way too much crosstalk. The internet would play silly buggers with us. It would be a nightmare to edit. It ended up, like, and the reaction to it's been genuinely really lovely. The stuff I don't like, stuff I do like, and stuff for the future, which I'm excited for. I guess just to kind of front load it with the stuff I didn't like, don't like us not being in the same room. And I know that sounds super basic, but it's stuff like, you know, when you are over like a StreamYard or a any kind of conference call, Zoom or whatever, if you talk at the same time as someone else, it causes a massive static feedback. You know, the line drops out, which means that for No Roles Barred, we were prepared for that, obviously, but it meant that most of the time it's people sitting patiently waiting for their turn. And then when someone has definitely stopped talking, maybe you can jump in. And it's one of the things I love most about No Roles Barred season one is just people having little comments, you know, people describing their entrance and then someone saying a little thing and then people would like bounce off each other. It felt a lot less riffy, a lot less bouncy, but you know, in a way that kind of contributed to a certain neatness, like people weren't kind of talking over each other because they knew that they couldn't. So yeah, like how did you think?
Yeah, I thought that same. I think that same thing is an issue with these things in general, is that nobody can talk at the same time, and that does make things like chanting CBW even difficult.
Yeah,
can't do that. You can't. Yeah, it's kind of difficult to chuck in jokes because you have to wait for the moment to do it, so you sort of have to then think of the packaging of the joke as well, which is kind of not really what I do. I just listen to people and then just say a couple of words that I think might get a laugh and don't think of like what's going to be the feed line if they've already done the feed line 5 minutes earlier and I have to call back to it. Like, it doesn't work that way. So yeah, that was an issue, but I really liked the rest of it. I think I think the world that Tom had created was very vivid and imaginative. I think everyone's sci-fi characters were and robots were interesting. I loved Lolo's blatant alien rip. They're just calling it the
very fork. Yellow.
Very yellow. Oh, bloody yellow it was. Lou's Russian accent was a particular highlight. The puns. I think my favorite was Ollie at Rick Thunder in Danger Zone. I just think I never quite expected Tom doing a bunch of beeps and boops to be so emotional.
Yeah, I thought Ollie absolutely smashed it. Luke smashed it. Everyone's character had like an interesting thing that they were doing, and then I was just posh wanker because that was felt like the easiest thing for me. It was the world building that Tom did, like very much kind of like overcompensating for the lack of being able to do season two by creating a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. And very excited for our next setting, which has been decided upon by our wonderful patrons. Yes, they voted at patreon.com/NoRoseBard, where the episode, of course, will be airing first for early access. It's going to be a cowboy one. I can't wait. I love cowboys. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm interested. I was gunning for Victorian England, only because I thought of an orphan character whose finish is the Oliver Twist of Fate, but that's about it. And so I'm going to have to come up with something for cowboys now that hopefully repurposed that pun, because I can't bother to think of more than one pun.
I mean, are there any cowboy puns out there?
Oh, I don't know. Sure there must be cowboy puns. I'm sure. I'm interested to sort of dive into trying to work out like, What's not your basic cowboy character? Because that's the one thing you could get into with cowboys as an overall theme, is that we're all just cowboys and we're all just John Wayne ripoffs. So I'm hoping that we can all find something, a little wrinkle for the character that adds something to it.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is, you set yourself a high bar with the immortal, unkillable, tragic Hulk Hogan machine man, but also English monster. Like, yeah, that was a high concept. So you're going to have to try.
That was the first thing that came to my head.
Like, Laurie, how can I deconstruct a Western?
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean, like, what's not just a gunslinger? Because someone will do a gunslinger and they'll do it brilliantly, but we don't need three gunslingers.
You could work out something with that. Who knows? Like, I genuinely, yeah, I can't wait. I've got an idea for a character. And yeah, I'm going to talk to Tom very soon about it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, yeah, he's apparently he's buying source books. So he is, again, obviously going to pour his heart and his soul into this fictional world. So yeah, I can't wait. And if you haven't already seen our first one shot, which we're doing, basically extending obviously the life of Ne'Rozbad in lockdown, please do head on over to Parts Fun Known and check out the Ne'Rozbad one shot Cyber Battle Wars, which is Ne'Rozbad in the future.
Ooh. Well, and also that's all we've got time for on this edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. So come back tomorrow for the Friday Magazine show, which is going to have you and Luke hosting it, Adam.
Me.
And then on Saturday, we'll have SmackDown with Luke and Andy, I believe. And then we've got Money in the Bank, and me and Luke will be doing the review of that on Monday following the show, which should be exciting because a lot of it is taking place on the roof.
Magic. Ah. Yeah. And of course, yeah, if you want to know who we think, what is going to happen at that pay-per-view, do check out our prediction videos, wonderfully edited by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
What can you say? I just type things that I think when I edit them, as I slowly get annoyed at having to look at everyone goofing around. I just type jokes in. So anyway, there we go.
It helps when there's only three of us, right?
Oh my God. The WrestleMania one absolutely killed me. Like everyone's footage was crashing my computer. I didn't watch the thing properly because it could only play 10 seconds at a time.
Oh my God.
It was a miracle that came out as well as it did. But the Money in the Bank ones, I have to say, are much better. So go over to Wrestle Talk on YouTube and watch that. And we'll see you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.